Good afternoon. You're listening to Rumour Jordan on I Heard a Rumour. It's 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock is special guest time. And I am really happy to introduce into the studio Billy Graham, who is part of the Royal British Legion and also the Royal British Legion in Merthyr. Now, that's quite a big mouthful, isn't it? So, welcome to the studio, Billy.
Good afternoon, Rumour, and thank you for having me on.
No, it's my pleasure because we are approaching that time, aren't
we? We are.
So, before we get on to what you do, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a veteran myself. I served 11 years in the Royal Navy. I was attached to the Royal Marines for 7 of those years. I did 2 years stationed with NATO overseas.
Wow.
Went to quite a few places you wouldn't go on holiday to. let's just say that they're not holiday destinations.
Yeah.
When I left the forces, I left through an injury and I didn't know what to do with myself. I then went because I was injured, so after leaving the forces, I went to work with the NHS for 14 years.
Wow.
And I kind of missed that camaraderie I used to have with the forces.
How different was it working?
Vast. Oh, when you're in the forces, you're in a family.
Yeah.
Because everybody looks out for one another. You're the person to the left and right of you are always going to watch out for you.
Yeah.
It's such a closed community as well that you have everything on camp. You have everything that you need. You have your medical care. You have your dental care. Shops, obviously, your food.
Sure,
you eat there.
Sure.
You sleep there. Everything. You go abroad together. You stay in the UK or you go overseas again together. So it is a huge family. And when you leave that environment that is so closed in and you're so...
You're almost cocooned, aren't
you? Literally, you are
like
cocooned by people.
Real world.
Yeah.
So I suppose going into the National Health Service where you're in this huge organisation where it's... I don't know. I mean, I've worked in public sector, private sector.
Yeah.
And it is very much a case of... top dog wins and
absolutely
you shout the loudest.
Actually was very fortunate. The where I started was Brongleis Hospital in Aberystwyth from my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very fortunate that the TA medical team are actually based the Territorial Army. They are the medical team.
Oh, wow.
Were based there. And half of the staff that worked in the hospital were either reservists, territorial, or they were ex-forces themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was very fortunate to go back into
comforting.
That. It was very, very, very comforting.
Yeah.
And the fact that they knew what I was talking about was good as well. So, yeah.
So, okay, so moving forward from then, in 2014, you came to Spain.
I did, yes.
Yeah, and as we all do for a better life, sunshine.
Absolutely.
So how did you get started with the Royal British Legion?
Well, we have to go back a few years on that. So
okay.
When I was still serving, I actually was a case officer for SAFA.
Mm-hmm.
And I started off while I was still serving. And then I gave it up, obviously, because of work commitments.
For those who don't know what SAFA is.
Oh, SAFA is Sailors, Soldiers and Airmen Forces Help.
Right.
They call that now.
Okay.
And so SAFA is the... It's the same as the British Legion, but they operate in the UK. And I went to work for them doing exactly the same as I'm doing now, only I'm in a different role doing this now.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, people don't realise just how much help veterans and their families need. And being a veteran myself and knowing friends who'd needed help. So skip a few years forward, I've come out of the forces, I've moved to Spain. And I got talking to another veteran over here called Steve Kahn and his lovely wife who'd moved over at the same time as us. And he was talking, we were quite surprised there wasn't a Royal British Legion branch in Merthyr at the time. There was loads of branches all over the place.
All over Spain.
All over Spain District North and Spain District South.
Yeah.
But there wasn't one in Merthyr. And Merthyr's a heck of a big area.
And the expat community
of
a certain age as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So he actually asked about if we could start a Royal British Legion in Merthyr. And that was formed in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our inauguration in 2017. And I was one of the first people, along with Steve Kahn and several other people, to actually form the branch. And within a few months, we'd got a membership of over 50 people.
Wow.
And it was great because we'd started to do the poppy coordinating and things like that. And it was really nice to see people going, there's a Royal British Legion in Merthyr now. It was great. So, yeah.
So, what is a district caseworker?
So the role is quite a mouthful, so I do apologise. So I am the District Welfare and Community Support Coordinator. So I do welfare, basically. That's why we put the title of welfare to start with. In the UK, they're just called district or county community supporters, coordinators. So I coordinate with all the caseworkers. All the welfare cases will come to me first. Or they will come in via the branch supporters and they'll come to me for assistance if they need financial assistance.
Right.
So we have branch community supporters as well that belong to a branch, and they will deal with anything that's non-financial.
Okay.
So if someone needs a home visitor, a hospital visitor, just someone to go and have a cup of tea with or just have a chat with, or help with shopping and things like that, we can do that with them.
I imagine that there's also quite a few cases of people suffering mental health issues.
We noticed this spiral, especially during COVID, the loneliness that people were suffering. We knew that beforehand, but when COVID hit and people weren't allowed out, and sometimes we have a lot of older people or younger people now. We've got a lot of younger people now who suffer with mental health problems. And that spiraled after COVID. It really did. It's at its peak at the moment, which mental health is something that people tend to brush under the carpet a little bit. And, oh, come on, you know, pull yourself together. You can't do that. When you have let someone go to war zones or to conflict areas, Sierra Leone, for instance, where it was humanitarian, and they see the things that they see, you can't unsee that. And that sticks in people's minds. So they need the mental health support as well.
How much support do you get from governments?
Well, Royal British Legion is a charity. Okay. And we tend veterans themselves.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a a military charter. But it's limited to the resources that are already in place. There's no extra resources being put in place to help people with mental health support. There are other charities in place, but they are expecting the resources that are already there, the mental health support teams from the NHS and other charities, for everybody that's already there.
So I guess, I mean, not to be too controversial here, but I guess a lot of military personnel who've literally gone and fought for their country, and then the backup and the support that they should get from their governments
isn't always there,
and they come from people like yourself, like organisations like the Royal British Legion. And to me, that just seems a little bit unfair,
especially overseas. So if we move overseas like I did, there's the only charity that are allowed to operate overseas presently is the Royal British Legion. Apart from, I think, Cyprus and maybe Gibraltar now, maybe have a SAFA there. But we're the only charity that are allowed to operate overseas because of our Royal Charter.
Right, and so when you are collecting, when you're doing fundraising activities and collecting, so that money then goes to the veterans who are based in this area in Spain?
Oh, absolutely. So when you put that coin or that note into one of the poppy tins, we have just done our poppy launch on Saturday. You will now start seeing the poppy tins going out. When you put your money into that poppy tin, that gets collected and counted, and every single penny and then some gets spent here in Spain District North. And Spain District North, just so your listeners know and understand how big Spain District North is down as far as Almeria, up to the French border, and out to the Balearic Islands, because we cover the Balearic Islands as well. It's a huge area. We estimate that it's the size of the UK that we cover. That's Spain North.
Yeah.
We also have Spain South.
Right, but you're in charge of Spain North.
I'm in charge of Spain South. Well, for welfare, I'm in charge of Spain South. No, Spain North. Spain North, yeah.
Okay, so do you have a headquarters around here?
No, we're all home-based.
Right, okay. So we'll move on to if people want to get in touch with your organisation as well. So, as you said, you're all volunteers.
We are all volunteers. There's no paid members of staff abroad. None.
Right.
Everybody who volunteers for us as either a branch community supporter or a branch community coordinator. Mm. Our caseworkers are all volunteers. And our caseworkers can travel vast amounts of areas and distances to go to a case. But we will always try and get to that case.
What is a case?
A case is somebody who's asked for assistance.
Right.
So they might be needing mental health support. They might need mobility support. Mm. They might need help with repatriation. They might have lost a loved one and they might need help with funeral costs.
Sure.
So we always recommend, obviously, people have a funeral plan. But if they haven't done that and their loved one dies and all of a sudden they're stuck with this huge bill, and they haven't got the funds to fund that. So we'll help do that. We'll try and get the funds to help do that. Mm. And any veteran who dies abroad, we will always do the last act of respect for us, which is we will always provide a standard bearer where possible and a bugler and make sure someone's in attendance.
And then you will travel all of those from...
one end of the county to the other.
To the Balearics as well. Okay, wow. So when you say that you're in charge of welfare, what other kind of arms are there?
So we have obviously the poppy coordinators, our amazing poppy coordinators, who, God love them, are always trying to get poppies over here to Spain because there's a lot of difficulty and you won't probably see as much equipment as you saw before.
I was going to say, since Brexit,
as
if the poppies are coming from the UK...
There's charges on them. There's customs charges on them, and these are for a charity. We have a really good company in Spain for Murcia who will pop them on the back of the van for us and try and bring them over for us, which is great. But we have, there seems to be a trend at the moment where there's less items available, but now they're making fancier items. So you get little wristbands, which are beautiful little wristbands. You can get your poppies still. You can get your overseas pins still. They've taken the date off the overseas pins, which I find really strange because people collect them.
So the ceramic pins
have a date on them.
They've taken them off.
And now they've taken them off, which is a bit unusual because people collect them.
Yeah.
You can get jewellery. You have to order that normally from the poppy shop in the UK.
Sure.
So, but that obviously includes a charge for bringing it over.
Yeah.
But yes, we have quite a lot of items on the poppy stalls.
And I remember one year, there was a ladies' group. Did they knit something?
They knitted us an absolutely beautiful...
Stunning.
It was stunning. It was like a fall of rainbows, a fall of poppies that was for the church. I think the ladies from the church did it.
That's right.
And it's absolutely beautiful. I don't know where it is now, but I tend to see it around Poppy Tide.
Yeah.
So they bring it back out.
Was
so it's on one of the displays.
Church?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And so maybe we'll see it again in the next few weeks. Because that was stunning.
One of the charity groups, I think, has still got it. And they put it out for Poppy Tide, which is now.
Yeah.
So Poppy Tide starts from the poppy launch, which was on Saturday, up until the end of the 11th, on the 11th of November. So it goes that far.
Yeah.
And we see all sorts of displays going up now. I live on the campus hall urbanisation and they have some amazing displays up there.
It is quite stunning. And I was saying to you before we started the interview that I remember as a little girl, I was 9, 10, something like that, my aunt worked for the Bank of England.
Yeah.
And for a couple of years, we were poppies. Sellers.
Yeah, poppy sellers, yeah.
Yeah, we were poppy sellers in London. And I absolutely loved it. And as you say, the people who come... People actually come and they want the poppies and they want to talk to you.
Absolutely.
And it's quite amazing.
I still do... Well, this year I'll be doing it again. I'll be helping with the poppy collecting this year in Murcia. And the ladies who are here in Murphy and the gents here in Murphy who do the poppy tables, and we have support from the Ex-Servicemen's Association as well here in Matheron, and they tend to collect in the port for us, and then we collect in different areas, and we're covering quite a big area this year. And the poppy tables start as of tomorrow, I think the first one goes out tomorrow. And people come up to the poppy tables and they'll stand and talk to you, and they want to tell you about their forces families, or they'll want to say thank you. I collect poppies every year because they want to remember their loved ones.
Absolutely.
So they're we get young children coming up as well, and when we ask them, I always ask if they actually know what the poppy's for. And young children know what it's for. It's amazing that people have been taught not to forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not about being remembering the Great War, obviously, and the Second World War, because obviously it started after the Great War, which was the First World War.
So how did it come about then, the poppy?
The poppy?
Yeah, for anyone who's listening.
So Lady Hague was going through London after the First World War, or during the First World War, I think, because her husband was serving in the First World War. And she saw young men coming back from the battlefield with some horrendous injuries who couldn't work. So they were on the streets begging and trying to get money for their families. And she was absolutely appalled.
Yeah.
And she went back to her husband. And Rudyard Kipling had also said, we've got to do something about this. We can't. He was one of the guys who was involved in, obviously, the poems that were written.
You'll
understand. So a lot of them are literary people who were writing these poems at the time. They wanted to be, they didn't want to glorify anything. What they wanted was an act of remembrance.
Mm.
And that's how the poppy appeal came about, because Flanders was where an awful lot of soldiers were killed.
And the poppies grew.
And the poppies were in those fields.
Yes.
And that's why they took the poppy as the act of remembrance, was the poppy.
Yeah, because now you mentioned poppy, and it is universal.
Absolutely.
And
not just in the UK.
No.
People from Belgium, Denmark, Switzerland, Sweden, Holland, they know what the poppy is.
Yeah. Do they adopt it as well?
I think they do, but they do a different, I'm not sure what they do in foreign countries, but I do know that they hold events.
Right.
Obviously, because there's war graves there.
Yeah.
So they do, they hold massive events over there, and France as well.
Yeah. So how much time would you say that you dedicate to the welfare side of the RBL?
My husband will probably murder me for this, but I do actually, I've always got my phone on. I check my emails constantly.
Wow.
Because I don't want to miss anybody who's asking for help.
Yeah.
And that's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
You never want to miss that call.
But that's real dedication, because you're a volunteer as well.
I am a volunteer, but I'm a retired volunteer,
and
I don't have anything. I'm retired, I'm disabled, so I can't go and do a normal job, so I can work from home. And if I was just going to be sitting on Facebook, or if I was just going to be sitting on my laptop, or if I was going to be reading a book, and I thought, I'm going to go out of my mind if I don't do something.
Sure.
And I remember being helped by the British Legion when I first came out of the military. This gentleman turned up at my door when I'd first come out of the forces, and he filled out all these forms for me. He helped me fill out a load of different applications for things. And if he hadn't have come and helped me, I wouldn't have been in the position I am now.
So you carry that forward.
Always play it forward. If someone helps, help them.
Yeah.
It's as simple as being an act of kindness, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it was your injury that stopped you.
It was my injury from stopping my, it stopped my military career, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so let's talk more about the poppies, etc., etc. So you said that we should start seeing them.
Oh yes,
tomorrow
you will start seeing them tomorrow. I think the first poppy table is on Campusall B sector, I'd like to say.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be out tomorrow.
Brilliant. Now, you've also just done a poppy launch in Benidorm.
We did.
Just this weekend going past. So tell us, what was that all about?
So every year you will see the poppy launch. So in London, the poppy launch is massive. They have like a musical festival, because you'll see people who are doing Catherine Jenkins did a lot for, yes, just still, yeah, does a lot for the Poppy Appeal. You'll see, I think the Spice Girls did the release one year. You'll see, who's the guy from Bros, one of the brothers? Luke Goss.
Yeah.
Actually did a record last year for the Poppy Appeal. So that starts the Poppy Appeal off. And in London, it's huge.
Yeah.
So you will see people come out to do this concert type thing that they have.
Yeah.
And then every city across the UK does it. They all have a poppy launch, which means you will then see your poppy sellers on the streets. You will then see them in shops where the tins are, where they're put out in bars, and you'll see collectors on the streets as well.
So is that what you were doing in Benidorm?
So Benidorm was, we were very fortunate to have Sir Alex Ellis come down, who's the ambassador to Spain and Angora.
Okay.
He came down to do our poppy launch. He was one of our VIPs. We had one of the board of trustees, Stephen Lee, came. We had the defence attaché, who was Anthony Crabb, came. Our district coordinator, our district chairman, Paul Kane, was out. We have the ladies from the, Sarah Munshine from the, my words have just gone, I'm so sorry, from the consulate, I'm so sorry.
She came
from the consulate.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have the padre from the, who's associated to the British Legion here as well.
Yeah.
And so they were our VIPs. One of our young girls, oh Lord, this lady is beautiful. Katie Lord was given her award on stage as well.
Okay.
Because this young girl is one of our youth team, and she goes out and collects every year. But this girl can walk into any place.
Mm-hmm.
It may be a cafe, it may be a bar, and she will come out with a bucket load of money. She is just amazing.
That's what you want,
literally.
Isn't it?
And for being such a young girl to do that, it's really good to see.
Absolutely. So you're a volunteer.
I am.
How many volunteers do you have in this region, and are you looking for more?
We are always looking for volunteers, and everybody says that, don't they? We are always looking for volunteers. So at the moment, I have 8 working caseworkers, who are the people who go out to do the financial side of things.
Mm.
And not just the financial side of things, to see what people do need.
Mm.
Because someone will ring up and say, oh, I need a mobility scooter. And then when you go out to see them, they don't actually just need a mobility scooter. They might need a wet room. And these are people who may not be in the financial situation to be able to do that themselves. So we can help do that for them, or we'll certainly try and help do that for them. And you'll look around and think, how are you getting up these stairs? Do you not need a ramp?
Mm.
So we've got the knowledge now to be able to go out and see what exactly people need, if they need more than they're actually asking for, because they'll never tell you that they need more than that.
Mm.
They'll only ask for the bare basics. But a mobility scooter to someone who's not mobile is
a godsend.
Absolute,
it's a lifeline.
Godsend, yeah. It's their legs.
Yeah.
I always say this to people because I'm a wheelchair user.
Sure.
So I always say, that is my legs.
Yeah.
If I don't have that, I can't go out.
No.
I can get around a little bit on the crutches, but if I haven't got the wheelchair, I can't go out.
No.
So people need the mobility scooter. They can go shopping on their own then.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a life then. They can go meet their friends.
So the sort of money that you need probably is quite a lot if you're going to be helping people.
Oh, yes.
So you've got 8... Did you say 8 volunteers?
8 volunteers who do the casework.
Right.
We've probably got about 12 now, because we've just had another couple of people join different branches as branch community supporters.
Yeah.
And they're people who go out to visit people, either in homes, hospitals, nursing homes. They're telephone buddies, just to make that weekly phone call or monthly phone call, if they want a monthly phone call, just to see if they're okay. Ring up and say, hey, how was your appointment the other day? Because we know that they had a doctor's appointment, or they'll have told us that. So we ring up and say, how was your appointment? Are you okay? Do you need anything? Do you need any shopping getting?
Mm.
We also have our branch community supporters will go out and help people fill forms in, because we have to remember that we're quite an aging population. And they still need help with filling these forms out. And sometimes the forms from the UK are online now.
Mm. And a lot of people are not computer literate, aren't they?
I am absolutely stunned that they've put everything online, because not everybody is computer literate. No. They don't have a computer.
The thing is also, like, you have all these caseworkers who go out to help people, but as you say, this all comes from, it's all voluntary.
Yeah.
And the money is voluntary. So what sort of fundraising activities, apart from the bobbies, do you guys do?
Throughout the year, you'll see events on. So throughout the year, you'll see concerts going on. You'll see people who are raising money through cake sales, from coffee mornings. We've just had, in Merthyr, we've just had the Tommy 10K, where people did the walking with Nigel Franklin, organised that for us from the Merthyr branch.
Yeah.
And people went out and they did their 10K, but they raised sponsorship money for it, which was great. That was absolutely brilliant, because my husband took part in it. So
And I think Suzanne.
Yes, Susanna Reid, yes.
The Cloud Nine Drama Group.
Yes, yes, she did it.
She came round all of us and she got money from all of us. So there you go.
We're sneaky like that. We get in there and just go, ooh.
Well, it says here that last year you spent an estimated 12,000 or 127,000?
127,000
euros.
And then we had another 12,000 euros from the European Union. And then we also had another 9,000 euros given to us to help with funding for veterans and their families.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So you did have a little bit of help.
We have a little bit of help, but that's not guaranteed help.
Mm.
Our guaranteed funding comes from the Poppy Appeal.
Sure, sure. So if you, for any people that are listening in now that think, yeah, you know, I'd really like to get involved, this is something.
Oh, yes.
That, how would they do so?
So it depends on what people want to do. So if they want to do be a telephone buddy, or if they want to go and visit people in hospital, or if they want to visit people in their homes, or go and meet up for a coffee with somebody, we really encourage that, because that combats loneliness, that combats that that feeling of loneliness.
And it's such a simple act.
And it is such a simple act. Yeah. If you were going to have a coffee with a friend, then that's what we'd like people to be able to do, because it means so much and it doesn't take that much time.
No.
It's however much time that people have got to give. So they can get in touch with either their local branch. And if you have a look online, you'll find one of the local branches. Normally, Facebook's a great place to put on. Just put the Royal British Legion in Spain and you'll
see. Do you have an actual Facebook page?
We have an actual Facebook page, which is... So the district Facebook page is Spain District North Royal British Legion. Or every single branch that's in Spain District North will have their own Facebook page.
Yeah.
So Murcia's got their own Facebook page, Torrevieja, Orwell Acosta, Alicante... and Benidorm's got their own Facebook page. That's just to name a few. Hondon Valley and Pinoso have got their own pages as well. But if you want to do that side of it, where you do the telephone buddy, the hospital visitors, or the going into people's homes, or going out and meeting people for a coffee, that side can be done through the branch, or you can give me a ring. And my phone number is literally everywhere. If you look online, it is absolutely everywhere. But just
there
for people out there.
There is a number here as well. Is that your 676?
That's my number. And that's my work number. So that's the Royal British Legion Welfare and Branch Community Support number. So that's 676-451-780. And then I also have an email address, which is spainnorth.communitysupport@rbl.community, and people can get in touch with me that way.
Perfect, perfect. So they can get in touch with you on that number and email, whether they want to volunteer, or whether they need
Whether they need help.
Yeah, brilliant.
And that number has also got an answer phone on it, and it's also got WhatsApp, so you can always send me a message on that number as well. I am very I always say it doesn't matter. It's never, ever a stupid question.
Mm.
There's never silly questions. If you need to ask something, message me.
Yeah.
And I'm more than happy to help. Because we help people with their pensions as well.
Sure.
And people who are getting these letters now, these life certificates, and don't know what to do with them. What's we do. The life certificate is for the pension. So it can either be for their military pension or your state pension. But whatever you do, don't ignore them. Make sure you get them signed and sent back to the UK.
These are the ones where you have to prove that you're still alive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right, it's really important that people do that and get them sent back in, because you do get your pension stopped if you don't get them sent back. So we can sign those as well.
Brilliant. So. Okay, Billy, well, we have run out of time. Is there anything that we've missed out on? So just so to make sure that we've covered everything that we needed to cover.
I can't think of a thing at the moment, but I'll probably think of something as soon as I leave. No, but obviously, we are here for people. Sure. That's what our aim is. We are service, not self.
Yeah.
If you need something, ring and ask us. It's as simple as making a phone call or sending an email or a WhatsApp.
Perfect. Now, give out those details again, your phone number and the email,
Okay. Just
in case anyone didn't catch it.
So my phone number is 676-451-780. And that's got the WhatsApp and the answer phone on. And then my email address is spainnorth.communitysupport@rbl.community.
Perfect. So thank you very much for your time, for coming in.
Thank you very much, Rima, for having me.
And everyone, look out for the poppies from tomorrow.
Yes, please do.
And we're going to say goodbye to Billy with some Andrew Gold and Thank You for Being a Friend.
Thank you for being a friend.